Well, this week was a bit of another whirlwind, because I'll be honest with you, I can't remember if I sent an email out. I probably didn't. Nope. All right. So, we are resuming, continuing in our study of the practice of godliness. And we're in chapter 12, discussing faithfulness, and we are kind of in a mini-series on God's faithfulness. And last week, I had discovered something about the gospel, just by doing a word search on the gospel. And I brought that up last week, and we didn't really get to finish what we were discussing about the gospel. So we are going to continue that this Sunday. So in God's faithfulness to redeem his people, because isn't that the point of God intervening in human life? To redeem his people. And in redeeming his people, he is entering into a covenant with them. And in the new covenant, or in our time frame, or past the cross, typically we call that of entering a relationship, entering into a relationship. But just like we discuss marriage as more than a relationship, with marriage, the picture is that is a covenant. That is a commitment. So in God's word, we see his commitment to his people. And then besides him redeeming his people, besides his covenant commitment to his people, we see that there are promises that he promises to his people. So I just, you know, as I continue to look at this each week in regards to God's faithfulness, I had to ask, as I'm going to ask you guys questions, it's because I'm asking myself these questions. How does all that happen? The redemption, the covenant, the promises. I ask this question, are there different ways and different times on how God does this? You know, in the theological term for times is dispensations. Dispensations of time, or dispensations of times. Are there different and numerous covenants? And it's funny, as you listen to or have read Christian literature, heard sermons and stuff, you'll hear people talk about different dispensations, different times of how God deals with his people. And you'll even hear that there are different and numerous covenants in how God deals with his people. But I had to ask the question, based on what I saw last week, or has redemption been the same from the beginning of time to the end of time? We've already looked at some verses, you know, we've been, and we're going to continue to be in Deuteronomy 30, but we're going to go to a whole lot of other places today, Lord willing. At verses we've looked at, and as I mention some things, you'll pop into your mind verses that we already know. And I'm going to propose that redemption is based on God's people hearing the gospel, and having their heart circumcised. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Good morning. And last time we spent most of our time in verses 1 through 5. And I was establishing that there were a Hebrew word that says turn or return, and how that matches up with what Jesus said in Mark chapter 1 when he said, repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. Because that is the whole purpose of the word repent. Repent is the turn. There's a picture that you are going in the wrong direction. You are thinking in the wrong direction. You are walking in the wrong direction. And that picture we can see in Deuteronomy 30 when he's telling the people to return unto God. And then we ended last time that Pastor Jim got in a big hurry, and he goes, well, verse 6 is the key. It says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest liveth. Does anybody find verse 6 just really peculiar here? If I had a nice laptop that worked, I could have probably used it to put up a little chart up on the screen. And I created a table on the left side. I had a title, Hearing the Gospel. And on the right side, I had Heart Being Circumcised. So, if I was then to start filling in that table, what the Bible reveals to us regarding hearing the gospel. And again, like last week, I told you that people typically think that the gospel is Jesus died for your sin, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, so that if you believe that, then you have a ticket into heaven. But then in Mark chapter 1, let's turn there. This is a little bit of a review. So in Mark chapter 1, it starts out, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And then it talks about how John came as a forerunner. And then when we finally get down to verse 14, where the title of this little paragraph in my Bible says that Jesus begins his ministry. So this is the beginning of his ministry. Jesus says, verse 14 says, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, ye, and believe the gospel. And as I mentioned last week, when he went to these regions and preached this, they had no idea. about him dying for their sin, raising from the dead, and ascending into heaven. What Jew would have known this? We're going to go to Romans 10 in a little bit, and there is a quote that is referencing Isaiah 53. And all of us are kind of familiar with Isaiah 53, where it talks about the suffering servant. So there is an Old Testament reference to the foreshadowing of Jesus dying for our sin, raising from the dead, ascending into heaven, reigning a kingdom. All right. But when Jesus said this in Mark 1, at the beginning of his ministry, was Jesus just pointing to just only Isaiah 53? Was he expecting all those Jews who were listening to him when he said, believe the gospel of the kingdom, that it's only reference to these Jews was Isaiah 53? Or can we say that the gospel has something to do with Deuteronomy 30? Because in Deuteronomy 30, I should keep my page markers here. Because in Deuteronomy 30, it is saying, return unto the Lord and obey His voice according to all that I command thee this day, you and your children with all thy heart and soul and with all thy soul. So, what is the gospel of the Old Testament that Jesus was telling these Jews to believe and to repent? And like Jim brought up last week, verse 6 in Deuteronomy 30 kind of just pops out like a daisy. It says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise your heart. Before Moses said this, what was circumcision? Let's go to Genesis 17. Because here's what these group of Israelites would have been familiar with. In Genesis 17, if we read 11 through 14, and it says, you shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations. He that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant. So, Here's what the Jewish people would have been familiar with that was made with Abraham. And it says that it's an everlasting covenant. That is a really long time. And here we are in 2017. Followers of Jesus Christ. And we get the benefit to know something drastically happened to that covenant. And what I find very interesting is that Moses gives us a quick picture of how that's all going to change way back when. Because for these people to turn from their sin, which is the exact thing that Jesus started his ministry with, he said, repent. Moses is telling these people to turn. And then, as we've been looking at, that they need to hear and hearken unto the words of the Lord God. And then Jesus is saying the same thing, believe the gospel of the kingdom. Is Moses telling these Israelites the exact same thing that Jesus is telling these Israelites? The exact same thing. Repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. So what is the gospel of the kingdom? See, that's the question that as I started to bring up last week, and then I've been pondering this week, what is Jesus referencing here? Let's go to Romans 10 now. So in Romans 10, when we read 16 and 17, it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? And again, that is a direct reference to Isaiah 53. And as we read all of Isaiah 53, we can see that that talks about the suffering servant. But then in verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now remember when Paul said this, and Paul's referencing Isaiah 53. There was no New Testament written. They didn't have the advantage of us just pulling up the canon of Scripture. But Paul is referencing that our faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So is this Word of God or Gospel? Just Isaiah 53? What portion of the Word of God do you have to hear by faith to be redeemed? What portion of the Word of God is Jesus referencing as the gospel of the kingdom to believe? Because it's interesting, if you read all of Romans 9, 10, and 11, the underlying story is a disobedient, gainsaying Israel, whom God held out his hand all day long and was rejected. And we can show from Scripture and we can show from history that this disobedient, gainsaying Israel has been rejecting God from the Exodus to the cross to this very day. And Paul elaborates that bad news in all those chapters. But then Paul points out in each one of these chapters, and he's pointing out to the audience that he's talking to, both Jews and Gentiles in these three chapters, that in all this disobedience and rejection of God, God always saves a remnant. And he always saves a remnant from the original Jews, and he's also saving a remnant from the Gentiles. And Paul then goes on to say, why is God doing that? So that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. And we're going to go to John chapter 1 to say, not of blood, not of the will of man, but of God. Because then he goes on to say, for he saith to Moses. So here we are, we do another flashback all the way back here to Deuteronomy, to the Pentateuch, to the five books, the five beginning books of the Bible. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So as we continue to read from the Old Testament, what is the gospel or good news Jesus tells these Jews to believe? What is the good news Jesus is telling us to believe? Okay, yes, he rose from the dead. But the Jews in the Old Testament knew nothing about Jesus rising from the dead. And in Mark chapter 1, Jesus is telling all these Jews to repent and believe the gospel of the kingdom. They didn't even know. We get the benefit of knowing the how. We get the benefit that we do know that Jesus died for our sin, rose from the dead, ascended. We're going to be resurrected. We have a kingdom. We get the benefit of progressive revelation that we know all that. But at the time Jesus told these Jews this information, they didn't know any of that. But he's still telling them, repent and believe. Repent and believe. So, and we just read Romans 10 that says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then my question was, what part of the word of the God do we have to hear to be redeemed? Let's go to John chapter 10. Yes. Okay, and we were just there previously regarding Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, where it says our heart has been circumcised. Because what I'm establishing, there's a package deal going on here, that if our heart's been circumcised, then we are going to hear the gospel. So let's go to John chapter 10. And in verse 26, it says, "But you believe not." Because you are not of my sheep, as I have said unto you. Remember in our previous studies when we talked about the nation of Israel and they were in the desert and all those people fell in the desert. And we discussed how those people fell in the desert not because they were disobedient children. We saw that they fell in the desert because Hebrews and Jude and 1 Corinthians says they had an evil heart of unbelief. And in God's wrath, not God's love, in God's wrath, they weren't going to enter the rest. And the point was, is because they believed not the Word of God. So, it says, "My sheep hear my voice." So we'll just stop there. Let me ask a question. What does "my sheep" have to do with having your heart circumcised? Is there any connection with that? Look at the personal pronoun there. I'm having a whale of a time with this apparatus here. My sheep. Let me ask this question. How did the sheep become Jesus' sheep? That's right. That's right. So in Deuteronomy 36, when God says, "I will circumcise your heart," that is the master picking the sheep. And based on what Pastor Greg just said, look what the sheep do after they've been picked. They hear my voice. I am telling you, that is the same message of Deuteronomy when God tells Moses to tell the people, "Hearken unto my voice. Hearken unto my voice." So after you're a sheep, after you have heard his voice, after you have hearkened unto the Lord God's voice, it says, "And I know them." There's the covenant. There's the relationship. And it says, "And they follow me." So in the Old Testament, God told Moses that to tell the people to hearken unto me, to observe, to do, to follow, to walk. Isn't that how you follow the shepherd? And weeks ago, we looked at Numbers when everybody was getting sorted into you're going to die in the desert, and here's this group that's not. You know, in Numbers, it said that Caleb had a different spirit. And the question it asks is, how did that happen? Maybe because Caleb had his heart circumcised. There's always a work of God going on here. So, my original intent, which we haven't even got there yet, is that I told you to do a word search on the word love and keep. And for some of you, you might still have that information. You may still have those scripture verses written down. So, what is the gospel of the kingdom that Jesus is telling these Jews, and I'm trying to make a connection that he's been telling these Jews ever since the Exodus, and that was my point from the beginning, and how Jesus is telling us that same message today. Way past the Exodus, way past the cross, repent and believe the gospel. If you looked up those verses, Jesus says, love me and keep my commandments. That is really what he was telling through Moses, all those Jews way back then. Love me and keep my commandment. I'm not saying that a part of the gospel message is not that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose from the grave, and that he sends the right hand of the Father. I'm not saying that that is not a part of the gospel. I'm just suggesting that that's not the whole picture. When Jesus in Mark 1 at the beginning of his ministry told us to believe a gospel of the kingdom, what was he asking us to believe? I'm just suggesting that the message is consistent from the beginning to the end. Love him and keep his commandments. Hearken unto his voice to observe, to do, and to walk. Because that's what a heart circumcised will do. What are some other biblical synonyms for having your heart circumcised? Born again? Cleansed? Chosen? Elect? Born of God? Seed of Abraham? Saints? Wheat? Sheep? New man? Beloved brethren? Child of God? Heirs of God? Joint heirs with Christ? Children of Abraham? Children of promise? Household of God? At least that was some of the ones that I found. And then hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, just do a word search on belief. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Isn't that all summed up in love me, love God, and keep His commandments? Hearken unto my voice, trust me, and basically do what I say. We repent and believe the gospel. We believe in Him. We believe on Him. We have faith in God. By faith, the just shall live by faith. I just love the John chapter 10 verse because I feel the John 10 packages the gospel in that the sheep hear His voice and they follow Him. Following Him is not optional for a sheep. A sheep who doesn't follow the shepherd ends up being destroyed, harmed, killed. So when the Word of God says, if the people hearken to the voice of the Lord, to observe, do, keep, and walk, which is proof that the sheep follow the shepherd, then as we were reading here in Deuteronomy 6, if we were to continue reading, it says, then God promises good news. And just to summarize, the good news is that God says, I'll be your provider. I will be your protector. I will be your completer. I will take you to my kingdom. God says He'll do all that for those who have had their hearts circumcised, for those who have heard the gospel, and for those who follow Him. So, it's just really interesting that I just feel like I've always felt that when you're reading the Old Testament that it was, well, like I said last time, you know, there's people that lived a long time ago. And God's done with them. Well, as we just looked at Deuteronomy 30, and like I said in my past email, when we read Deuteronomy 30, who's God talking to? Is God talking to them 4,000 years ago? Or is the Word of God talking to me and you? That's just what I want you to think about when you're reading whatever section of Scripture that you're reading. Because if we are His people, then it doesn't matter where we're reading. And again, there are some contextual differences where you can see specifically it's talking about a specific people, about a specific situation, because it's quite obvious. I never lived in those lands. We all live here in America. But is God talking to me and you through His Word? Always ask yourself that as you're reading, because it should be a part of your relationship. It should be a part of the covenant that He has entered into with us, because He's the one initiated it. He's the initiator. He's the circumciser. He's the raiser of the dead. He's the one who brought us to life. Not all in the same place, not with the same experience. But yeah, but just remember the picture of the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt. That picture is still accurate with us coming out of sin. And that God, as pilgrims, because the New Testament says that we're pilgrims, we're just passing through this world. This world, the picture is that this is a desert. And we're passing through the desert, and we know that there's going to be trouble in the desert. God is going to allow things to happen, and He says to prove what is in our heart, whether we really love Him or not. He doesn't need that information. He knows. The trusting and the faith and the believing and the following is leading right into His sermon. So you'll hear all about the synergism. All right, we're there. Because it is a mysterious combination of divine intervention and human effort. It's a mystery. Let's pray. Lord God, I'm